Welcome, Catherine. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. I've always loved your voice. Your voice on Twitter is such an impressive voice. I always, I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
thank you. That's so sweet.
And I'm so, so happy that you're joining all the people that I ever interviewed here. And it's always a huge privilege for me to be able to have a bit of your time, but also, you know, ask you questions and kind of have my curious moments to experience what your spiritual path or your journey or even just your human journey is like.
So yeah.
Would you like to present yourself and say who you are and what is your message, I guess?
Yeah. My name is Catherine, and I go by Kutu2 on Twitter. But I am a tarot reader, and I don't really know like what my like message is necessarily, but I do say that I'm really all for like honesty and like confronting things up front and just being objective about things rather than getting lost in the like what ifs essentially and trying to like problem solve constantly. So that's kind of what I'm all about, is I try to help direct people with objective views on things that maybe are a little too difficult for them to see in the moment. Give them a different perspective.
Thank you so much. I was kind of telling my partner about what I was doing today, and I was like, I'm gonna interview this person, and I was trying to explain a little bit because he doesn't know this world at all. And I was like, well, in spirituality, there's a lot of communities, and within that community, there's a lot of different concepts that are usually like told by one person and then repeated through. And you're kind of the one who has the critical thinking and who's like, let's open it up and like share so much more. So when you say honesty, it's like, yes, definitely that you're truly like enlightening things in different ways so that it doesn't stay that simple and sometimes misleading, and you're just helping us to understand more, which feels so good to read and understand. Thank you.
I mean, that's, I think when I first started my spiritual journey, I got so lost in the little sayings or I don't know, like ideals. But then when I applied them to my life, they just didn't really fit. And I was like, well, I think I need to investigate a little bit. That's, you know, an Aquarius rising. Like that's where my brain goes. It's like, let's look into this.
Thank you so much for answering this and doing that for us. I think it's a service that we need. I want to ask you about the beginning of your spiritual journey then. Yeah. How did it happen for you?
It's pretty interesting because I feel blessed in the way that I was raised, where my parents just wanted me to have the liberty to make my own choices in terms of like what I believe, what faith I have, you know, that sort of thing. And throughout high school, and my dad died when I was 17, at the end of high school, I had like no faith in anything, you know? And for years, I mean, my best friend and I joke, we used to be like, the type of atheists who would like just say like, oh, that stuff is so stupid, like astrology, who needs that? Like it was kind of like a rejection of our own like suppressed selves, you know? And especially for me, that was what it was. But I got into this relationship that I knew there was a lot of love, but it was also very unhealthy and very, you know, it had moments of toxicity. And I just realized like, I don't know, I need to focus more on myself. I've lost my identity through this. And it's kind of interesting. I found crystals to be the most relatable thing because it was like spiritual, but I could keep myself at an arm's distance. Like, oh, I'm just seeing what happens. Like, why not just investigate it? And my parents growing up, like they actually were the type of people to go mining crystals, like finding them in the rivers and things like that. So I wasn't unfamiliar with that area anyway. Like I had grown up around rocks and been very enthralled by them. But it's kind of funny because I started with those. It's like, I started tapping into something that was like bigger than me. And it was kind of like this, I always explain it as I went walking in the woods one day, you know, I said a prayer for the first time in like 10 years. And by the time I had gotten home, I got an immediate response to my prayer. And it was a moment where I was just like, I was paying attention and I was open to it. So I was like, there's something here for me to investigate. And like, I think that's what my spiritual journey has been like, is just constantly investigating. And it's in this very curious way that's like, let me be open. And like, who's to say like what is or what isn't, you know? It's like, there's been a lot of that. And a few months after getting into crystals, one of my old friends from like elementary school, like when I was a kid, she reached out to me and she was like, I have something for you, let's talk. And she ended up gifting me a couple of tarot decks. And at that point, I just had no interest in tarot. I didn't know anything about it. But I got home and I was, you know, living with this person I didn't really want to live with and everything else. And I pulled two cards and I pulled like Death and the Tower. And it was like, it scared me at first. But then when I read about them in the book that I had, I was like, oh my God, this is like where I'm at. And I was like, what am I holding? Like, the more I pulled cards, the more I could see these like connections to everything. And like, more importantly, I was introduced to myself, you know? And that was like, that's kind of where it all started. It was just like that willingness to be curious.
I love that. That's the best approach, I guess, because that's also how I got into it. And it's like, we're just going to test it. And I'm open to it's not working as well. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And kind of seeing what happens. I love that when you said introduce to yourself through the tarot.
Yeah.
That for me, it was like validation. I was gaslighted when I was a kid. So it was always like, oh, that voice in my head is not wrong. Okay. Yeah. I'm not mad.
I know, and that is very relatable. I feel like as an adult, I didn't have any self-expression until I was like in my, you know, late 20s. And even then, it's like, even now I still doubt and question, but I do know that like the tarot has been a gift to hold a mirror, to be like, this is how you view the world. This is how you feel. And this is how you see things. It gives that space to be creative in that way too. Yeah.
I love that. And also like what your intuition kind of is, because I don't know, as a Scorpio, my intuition is that sometimes I see what's good, like not what's going to happen, but what's going on between the lines. It's not always pretty. And sometimes it's like, oh, but it's actually still the truth. And it's actually still what's happening. So,
yeah.
What do you do now? Yeah.
And that's, I always like call it like the spiritual gaslighting, when you see something and you're like, oh, it's not that, like, it's fine, like, you know, that sort of thing. And it's like a joke that I like to use, but it is like, there's something so empowering about seeing something and intuiting something. And even if it's not what you want to intuit, it's like, oh, but I knew that, like some part of me knew, you know, especially when later on down the road, you get shown how true it really was.
And how does intuition reach you? Like, how do you experience that moment?
So for me, I've only recently in the last like year or two figured this out, but it's a whisper. It is like the quietest. It's like before I have the thought, there's almost this underlying voice, but it's not really a voice. It's just like a feeling. And that first initial feeling is always the intuition. That thought that comes afterwards is usually some other part of my analytical brain that might be tapping into it, but could also have its own prejudices and views on things. But for me, it really is like, it's just a whisper. It's like the tiniest. And when I listen to it, I go, oh, okay, I hear you. Like, I like to acknowledge it, because even though it's so quiet, I'm like, I know this. But that being said, sometimes, you know, there's situations where like there's alarm bells ringing, and that is also equally as valid, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can see that as well. And I love the fact that you say it's a whisper, because I've also experienced that. It's like a very neutral voice that doesn't really take a side and just says what is.
Yes.
And then obviously the brain is going to overreact and do something, but but if you just stay in that neutral moment and you just start to prepare yourself or act according to your values and follow that, then it's a whole new way of dealing with it. I love that, because sometimes we think that intuition is something else, like the voice that says, mm-hmm. I told you so, or, you know, like,
yeah,
we have misrepresentations of intuition, I guess. But thank you for saying that. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people to be listening to the next whisper.
Yeah. And it's, you know, for so long I ignored the whispers because I thought, like, no, it's just, it's like hardly there. It's hardly noticeable. But it wasn't, I had one specific situation where, you know, I just had a whisper come through and I was like, okay, whatever. And then within a day, like, I saw what I had gotten that whisper about. And I was like, oh, like, that's a key thing to notice and recognize and like pay more attention to.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Something came up when you talked and then it just removed itself from me again. Come back. No, but yes, the whisper, because it's so minimalistic, like that, it's so small, it's so tender and neutral, that it teaches us to listen more. Like it teaches us to be quieter so that we can listen to it. And it makes you lead a life that is a little bit different, less excessive, I guess. And it's very helpful when you try to tap into it and attune to the whisper.
Yeah. So if I can turn the thoughts down a little bit or slow them down a little bit and then amplify that space where the whisper can be heard, like that, you know, it helps a lot.
If it's possible to do that with the thoughts.
Yeah, right. That's, I know. And that's, I would say I'm somebody who thinks a lot, and it's something that I've had to learn how to be more neutral towards my own thoughts even. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And someone told me, like, you have to have boundaries with your own thoughts. I was like, wow, true. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's so true. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good image, but it's not always easy to do it, because it really depends on the wording. You know, like when you first learn meditation, people are like, yeah, just put the thoughts on the side and then focus on that silence, which obviously the thoughts can also just be parts of you that mm-hmm. needs to be heard, and they're finding the outlets, the time to speak. So boundaries is different. It's like later, like right now we're doing this, and then later I'm going to open you up. And then take notes and then do what we need. But
yeah. And I know for me personally, like, I've only recently just like really embraced this, but I know I have lived a life where I am addicted to stress, and my thoughts really feed into that. And it's something that I've had to learn how to listen to my thoughts, but also observe when they are constantly bringing me into the stress state. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like a constant, like, why am I feeling so stressed? Everything in life is good right now. Like, it's a rewiring of the brain. And I will say that, like, through the act of listening more to my intuition, I have been able to have that neutral stance where I can observe and be like, okay, well, like, I hear these intrusive thoughts essentially that are driving me down this path, but like, it feels better to think, you know, oh, well, like, I'm really grateful for my surroundings right now. I'm really grateful for the love I have in my life, the community I have, whatever it is, right? So that's part of it too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That shows a way to how to do that. I love that. I was going to ask you, how do you do this?
Yeah.
You just said it's so great.
I was going to say, gratitude is like, I mean, I know it's, people say it all the time, but it really is a medicine. Like, it's something that if you are constantly feeling stressed out, if you can take even 10 minutes a day to just sit in things that you're grateful for, like, it will start to shift things pretty drastically, and it doesn't take too long.
Yeah, it's a practice, and even when everything's going well, we can still do those practices, because it's like going to the gym. So
you're working, absolutely.
And sometimes with the stress, it's I think a lot of the speed, like I think of it in different speed, like the way energy moves through my body. So I'm like, okay, so stress is basically me running, what am I running from, or what am I running towards, and what's the direction, what's the thing, and then witnessing that maybe I'm trying to control my environment and like the stress is like me publishing 5 videos, you know, in 5 days, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Well, because I would like this and that, and this is done, and it's like, yeah, but it's also okay if there's just one.
That is very resonant for me as well. That's so true.
You said being honest. We have to be honest with ourselves as well.
I was going to say, it can be hard to do that, but it is so important.
It definitely is. I've learned how to do this through telling the Akashic Records a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be super honest with me. So now I'm like, okay, I'm doing this again. Have you ever worked with them, channeling them yourself or through a practitioner?
I have taken courses on how to do it. I do think I connect to the Akashic Records pretty regularly, but I haven't purposely gone and tried to channel and ask questions. It's more like there's just these meditations where information just flows in, and I know that's where I'm pulling it from, but there's kind of this disconnected way of doing it, but not disconnected at all. That's the wrong word. You know what I mean?
I think you have other paths. There's not just one path to going there anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. And I've witnessed that sometimes when they're, you know, close to you, like you're one of their person, I guess, they're just next to you. I feel them behind my shoulders sometimes. And
yes.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like they call to me when I'm meditating. That's like a very, I start seeing like libraries in my head, and it's just like it's like an experience where I'm like, oh, I've been like transported. I'm here now. This is like what they want me to focus on.
So good. So good. Yeah. Perfect job.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you, how did you go from having your own spiritual journey and discovering those tools to being a practitioner, being in service and offering tarot readings to others?
Totally by accident, honestly. So when I first found tarot, I was in life coach school, and I used to be a very much like control everything type of person. Up until that point, I had a very successful business. So my goal was to business coach people and like starting their own thing, you know, that they don't have to be tied to like, you know, an office job if they don't want to be. And I had this vision in my head. I mean, it was very painted out that I was going to do life coach school, become a life coach, and just help people with business. But the more I went into life coach school, I was life coaching myself. And I started realizing, like, I don't want to do this. Like, this, I don't enjoy the process of coaching people. I don't enjoy, like, there, it wasn't a fulfilling thing for me. And it felt very like limited, because there was kind of all these like methods of doing things. And although they were very helpful, a lot of times I felt more confused than like, you know, gifted something at the end of it. And it does take work on your own end too, but just that realization that like, I don't think I want to do this was kind of, it was a tower moment, you know, cause I had, you know, invested, I was doing it. I had gone to school for a year. And then, you know, someone was like, well, why don't you like try to give tarot readings to people? Cause you read tarot for yourself. And I opened it up to, you know, a couple of friends and family, and the response back was like 100%, this is accurate. And like, how did you do that? And it kind of opened a door for me where I was like, well, let me learn more about the tarot. Let me like study this, like develop a practice. And at first I started posting on Instagram, and I got like very little to no engagement on anything I posted. So I didn't see that as a path. I was like, well, I'm going to just continue to try to life coach, because, you know, tarot's not really working out. I didn't have a following at that point. I had like 12 followers on Twitter. You know, I had, you know, 400 on Instagram. It was all people I knew. It wasn't like a big community circle. So for some reason I started using Twitter more often, and I just made a tarot joke one day, and it got like 200 400 likes, something like that. But for my 12 followers, that was like, what just happened? And again, it was just a moment when I was paying attention, because I was like, well, what if I just come on Twitter and I post tarot? Like, I post the same tarot content that I'm posting on Instagram over here. And I started, and I kind of realized, like, I started seeing the community like posting messages, and I started to kind of feel more flowy with that. And that's, it was like an accident. It was like, let me just try this out and see if it works. And it really worked. So it was like one of those moments where I felt like I was paying attention, and then things just like clicked into place, you know? And it's still, you know, I go through journeys with it where like, do I really want to be doing this? Do I want to have like the public's eye on me? Do I want to have like, you know, like things could be so different, but do I like this? But at the end of the day, I always come back to the honest truth with myself, which is like, I love this. and I love what I do. So it's, you know, I feel like it's a gift to say that your job is like, you go online and you talk to people. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great way to, you know, make a living, and also just like live through, you know, purpose and everything else. And connect, which mm-hmm. is the most important part to me.
I love that. And also there's a relation to, you compare, you know, the beginnings to now. And I'm sure that there's so many different versions of you across all the things that you created. Yes. And they're still here, yes, existing and helping people along the way. Like, yeah. You're a guide through all those different periods. And I'm sure it's, I mean, I've been watching your Twitter for years, I think, now, you know. I've really been guided through your words, and I'm sure that it's going to continue, right? And
yeah,
I love that concept, that in a way you exist right now, but there's also like avatars of you in the past that are helping. And
yeah,
I just love it. It's a way of existing and being of purpose in the moment, but also all the things that you've done before.
Yeah it's true. And I channel those like avatars too, where it's like, okay, how can we like, you know, develop it further? Or even, you know, my own personal journey, I say like what I'm doing on Twitter, it helps me too. And it's like sometimes the advice that I need to hear that I don't see anyone else giving. So I'm like, this is, you know, it's just as much for me as anyone else. And sometimes it's not, but you know, there's times where it's like, this is, it's like what is needed, like on a collective level, you know. And I think that's so, it's just important.
Definitely, when you're a service, you are being served as well. Like last week, I was channeling for a client, and I ended up having tears in my eyes because the guidance was like touching me deep in the heart, because I had been going through the same. I was like, oh my god, wow. Okay, cool. It's so beautiful, because we're all connected, we're all having the same problems in just different manners or different complexities. But
yeah, it's true. And that's something I've learned through doing tarot readings, because at this point I've helped, you know, hundreds of clients, and we all are so intrinsically connected through our experiences, even if they aren't identical experiences. Like the energy underlying them is so, it's just so interwebbed. And I feel like it's something that, you know, it's beautiful. Like the fact that we have this kind of human experience, and it can be lived out in so many different ways, but it can also be, you know, something that connects you to another person without even knowing it. I think that's just very powerful, just in general.
I love that. I love the fact that we have internet. Thank you, internet.
I know. And that's, you know, I think about that all the time. Like, I am able to connect with people all over the world because of the internet. And because like that is, it's like a symbolic representation of like all the connection that we have anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is there something you would like to talk about? I don't have a question, but is there maybe a topic or a theme that comes to mind that you wanted to address on the mic somewhere?
Yeah. So I know that you are also clairsentient, and I don't ever see people talking about clairsentience. So I think that'd be really great to talk about, because it's all, you know, there's a lot of focus on the claircognizant. There's a lot of focus on like clairvoyance, even clairaudience. But it took me a lot longer to understand my clairsentience, because I didn't even know the word for it for the longest time. And it's something that I don't think everyone experiences their own, you know, gifts differently, but I'd be fascinated to hear what you have to say about that and have a little talk about that.
That's so cool. I didn't know you're clairsentient as well then.
That is my main, that's my main clair.
I love it.
So, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so happy because I wanted to talk about it on YouTube. I felt that way for roughly 2 weeks. I've been like, I heard someone say it in France and I was like, oh yeah, that's true. That it's a specific thing. Like for me, it's so normal that my body does weird
stuff
that I don't think that people could have questions. All right. So clairsentience, for those who don't know, is basically the fact that your body is the tool, the instrument for receiving intuition, and it will take different shapes. So people who are clairvoyant are going to see, and for me in my body, it's very specific experiments that happen. So energy is going to be scintillating here and there, or temperature is going to raise up, or there's going to be like a gurgle in my throat or my stomach. But when that happens, it's like a paragraph just shows up. Like I think I've compared it to like a flower blooming, because it really feels like there's like a blooming, and then all of the information is here. And I'm like, seeing someone's dad say something when they were five, and how the person felt about it, and how they closed up. So now we're like opening it up and seeing everything. So sometimes it does like make up for a weird human experience, because you can tap into someone's energy when they allow you and give consent, and then suddenly your whole body takes a whole different shape. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. And also it makes me talk in different words as well. Like I use a vocabulary and people are like, what? And like, how are you feeling something in my shoulder, or, you know, things like that. But it's very precise, even though it looks very strange. It's very, very precise with what's happening, or the abilities of one, the physical body, but also the energetical body. So I would love to ask back to you, like, how did it open up? How did it become something that you're aware of and can use?
I had a reading with an older reader who's been doing it for 30 plus years. And she was the one who told me, like, your psychic gifts are based through your body. And the more you tap into that, the more like you'll be able to read it. So I took that advice and I started kind of paying attention to it. I looked up all I could about clairsentience and I just didn't find much. So it was kind of like shooting in the dark a little bit for a while. And I do Reiki as well. I do energy healing as well, but I mostly do it on myself, honestly. And, you know, I try to make videos for it too, but I haven't done it like in the professional realm necessarily.
But they're amazing videos. You should all watch them.
I have your whole playlist
saved up and I'm like watching them sometimes.
I love that. That's so good to hear. But I started really feeling like I started feeling energy in my body. And that was kind of like, at first it freaked me out. I was like, why am I feeling this, like, you know, this like cold energy running through my center? Or like, why am I experiencing like nervousness before a reading, but I'm not nervous? Like, there's all these sorts of things going on. And I started to realize that when I would take a tarot client, if I waited on their reading too long, like if I had like several readings built up and it was like over time, I was basically just becoming this like vortex of all these different emotions and energies. And it was almost like preventing me from doing my work, which was, I mean, it was preventing me from doing my work. It was very much like overwhelming. So it's been kind of this realization of like, it's not even just like the physical sensations for me, but it is also, I take on like the emotions almost. It's like, I can feel the emotional body very heavily. And that is what allows me to, you know, when I'm talking to someone and like getting, you know, a reading from them or reading their energy, I really listen into my body to see like, okay, well, I'm feeling really anxious, or I'm feeling really like, you know, stressed out, or just like, there's all these different things that kind of circulate. And then it kind of centers back to, okay, well, you know, maybe you're having some like gut problems, or maybe you're having some confidence issues because like you are having stomach problems, like that, you know, that's sort of like, it all connects like body to mind to spirit to emotions. And it's just, that's how I see it. It's like an energetic, like layering.
I totally get that. I also just know what the session is going to be about.
Yeah.
The minute someone books it, I'm like, please let's have it like as soon as possible, because
yeah.
I'm going to be exploring all of the different emotions, and even what I watch and what I hear, what I hear people talk about when they're passing through, like everything's going to be like a huge connection. And then when you have the session with the person, you're like, okay, wow, the past 5 days of my life were about you. Okay.
Yeah, that is very interesting you said that. There's been so many times where I get a client and it's like they're coming to me with an issue, and then suddenly I'm in the middle of learning a lesson, or again, like hearing things or whatever. And it really is, it all centers back to like what that reading is about. And it fascinates me. I'm like, wow, okay, like you helped me, I helped you. Like we, you know, it's like a very symbiotic relationship.
It really is. That's why it's important to choose who you go to. And I wanted to just say something. I don't know if I've ever said it, but also it's important to kind of return to the same people, because there is a continuation of that process that happens sometimes as well. So yes. I love working with returning people, because then we can push further what we started. So because everything is a cycle, it always comes back in a different shape. Yeah. But And I wanted to ask you about clairsentience. Do you, like when you meditate, when you do your own spiritual practice, how is your body reacting to all of that? And have you experienced like the weirder sides of having a different perspective or consciousness, or, you know, type of awareness in the moment?
I would say definitely. I really tap into the spiritual realm when I'm meditating, even though I'm very in my own energy. That seems to be like when I'm in my heart space, it's like a gateway that opens up, and suddenly I'm aware of the guide that's standing behind my shoulder. Or, you know, like if I'm having my own thought forms, for example, like I start to see the swirling around my head, or I start to feel it even. There's all these sorts of like indicators, and it's more so than just like my spiritual practice too. It's like there will be times in my day where like I'm getting really bad heartburn. And I'll be like, well, what do I know about my system to like, what does that tell me? You know, and usually it means that I'm like stifling myself, or like, you know, holding myself back, not speaking fully like my truth. And that being aware of those sorts of things, like if I'm getting a headache, yeah, it might be because my glasses need to be changed, but also maybe it's because I'm seeing something with very narrow sight. You know, I'm refusing to see something. I'm ignoring something, and it really needs to be looked at. So there's those kinds of things too that come up for me. I will say, when I meditate specifically, I try to just envelop my body, like just be fully in it and like feel every aspect of it, because it's like, in a way, it's almost like a becoming aware or attuned to my own energy. So when there is a reading, I can tell like, that's not me. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like becoming very aware of who this is.
that's so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also do that body scan so that I'm very precise in the session. I'm like, oh yeah, that was not happening 10 minutes ago. So definitely not me, and definitely a message that you can hear. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, I want to ask another, like I'm totally like just asking curious question, but
no, it's fine.
So I talked about the idea, you know, of consent. We ask for consent before we send energy or channel energy from others. But do you, and I'm also like really trying to do my best with that, because sometimes my body is going to pick up on the emotions of others, even though I did not agree to feel that for them, or express that for them, or even tap into it. But does that happen to you with, you know, friends or family? Do you feel like you're affected by whoever is in physical proximity to you, or even just away, but still connected in a way.
Yeah, definitely. It happens a lot with like my mother and I, which is interesting because we don't talk very much anyway. But like when we do connect, it's kind of like, oh, we've been going through similar things. But the other thing is with my partner who lives with me, it's amazing to me how often, you know, I'll be thinking about something that he's thinking about, or, you know, like we're just completely like on that same page. And I would say he's also pretty naturally gifted with clairsentience as well, because a lot of times I'll be in my zone and he'll, you know, mirror it as well. So that's a big part of it, where it's like living with someone. And I will say also, sometimes I go to the grocery store and I just, it's like, I don't shield, or I don't, you know, make that boundary clear enough. And I'll pick up on the energy of the cashier or that person in the produce section. And I'm not trying to do that. But sometimes the way I look at it is maybe there's a lesson for me in there, where it's like, how does this reflect something that I do? Or how is this reflecting my own life right now? And that helps a little bit. But I really do try to ask my spiritual team or my guides or whoever, you know, can we just put up kind of a barrier so that's not always happening? But it still does happen. And because I ask, I figure it's like, well, it must be for a reason.
Definitely. And to deconstruct the fact that this is truly not yours and mm-hmm. and truly not your energy. And sometimes you're yes. just the vessel that it comes through. But it, the minute it's not repressed and you actually just go into it and you let it happen mm-hmm. and you don't try to, you know, understand it. That's how I'm saying you, but it's not
yeah,
you, obviously.
No, yeah.
But like to just allow for it to be and just be, and then it's gone, because obviously mm-hmm. it was not yours. So it doesn't really leave pebbles or yeah. remnants of what it was. It's just truly the unhappiness of someone, or the anger, or the yeah. frustration. And then sometimes it resonates a little bit further, but you can actively try to remove it in the days that come, and then it's gone. But yeah, it's not always easy to have a body that does that. And
yeah,
it's beautiful though, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I will say sometimes, you know, I'll go to the store and I'll be behind someone and my like chest will start hurting, or like my liver will start like feeling weird. And I'll be like, oh, this person in front of me like has a health problem. And like, whether they're aware of it or not, I don't feel like it's my place to tell them. But it's like, that sort of thing also for the longest time would really freak me out, because I have like a lot of health anxiety that I'm trying to like work through. And, you know, I was kind of living in this constant state of like something like my body's falling apart. But then it was like realizing that that other energy was kind of coming in. And since realizing it, I've been able to build some barriers, you know, like some boundaries there. That's like, okay, we are very lucky to have this vessel, but also like, we don't need to take on everyone's problems, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I would love to ask some, because I saw that, for example, this weekend you went to see trees and shared about that and tagging me.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, how is your experience through your body when you connect with nature or with, you know, different places yeah. that have an energy? How does it yeah. feel?
I feel like if I was a little bit more, how do I put this? It's not reckless. It's like carefree, I would probably be all over the place experiencing different, like I wouldn't be as like centered in my town, you know what I mean? Not to say that I don't go out and do things, but when I go in nature, and even like there's a St. Michael altar that is like 2 hours away from me, and I have gone to it, and there's like going to that specific like very sacred place, like there is an energy that is just unmatched with like the day-to-day, you know. I live in a very like cement city, essentially. It's very like typical America. It's just like built for the big box stores, you know, no walkability. So connecting with nature or connecting with those sacred spaces, it's like, I guess you could argue that everywhere can have a sacred space, but there's something very like tangible that's different. And especially when I go in nature, like my partner and I go to this one particular place every Sunday, and it's this walkway that just you're just completely surrounded by trees, and you're in a swamp. And when I go there, I just, it's like, I don't want to listen to music. I don't want to like really talk. I just want to like walk and feel just like this extreme healing energy is really what it is. And it's very like grounding and very peaceful. And every morning when I wake up, I go to the park where I took the pictures of those trees and I read under the trees. And it's like, that's a core part of my routine and, you know, grounding, you know, that's, it's just unmatched. It's really unmatched.
Which makes me ask you about Celts now. So you have Celtic ancestry, right?
Yeah, I'm from Ireland, and I don't know too much about the ancestry behind everything, but I do know that there's Celts, and I know that from what I've seen in the Akashic records, there's some like Druid energy there as well. So that feels very, I'm very connected to that, essentially. I also was born in Ireland, so I feel like that's, and my middle name is like Celtic goddess. So I feel very connected to that energy. And that's, you know, it just resonates the most for me.
So beautiful. I'm so happy that you got to connecting with trees, because that's all it is about, right? And yeah, that you have that wherever you are, even if you're not in Ireland, you can still connect with that piece of your own ancestry and energetical ancestry, I want to say.
And
have that across the world wherever you go. That's beautiful.
It's very special. I will say that, like, we were planning a vacation for the summer, and I was saying how like we have to just go somewhere where there's lots of trees and like rivers, and like that's like somewhere where we can get, you know, into the hold on one second, my phone's like doing something weird. But yeah, just getting back to a place where like connected to nature and feeling those energetic imprints that, you know, nature has like has a way of creating.
And those clear sentience and that connection to nature, have you ever had like an experience where you feel like you are part of all of that, and like you're a tree yourself, or, you know, whatever, but part of the world?
Yeah, I would say when I go to that place where my partner and I walk, that's a central place for my spiritual journey too. I used to live next door to it, and I used to go to it every day. When I'm walking there, I feel very much like just a part of the web. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like there's everything that's connected to each other, and there's no separation between, like, you know, animal, tree, me, other people. Like, it just feels like there's kind of this coherent energy resonance that's like, oh, we're all just like on the same place, you know? And it feels very, very, very special and also sacred. Like, that's a really good word for it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I don't have any more questions, but thank you so much for your time. And if there's anything that you want to share about where we can find you and what your services are, I would love for you to share that with us.
Yeah, I do offer tarot reading. So it's like my main service. But I will also do Reiki or whatever if someone contacts me. I try to just keep it open. So if there's like a mentoring or like guidance, I don't know what to call it. It's not coaching, but it's like, you know, if someone wants to connect and talk and get ideas and things like that, I also offer that sort of service as well. But you can find me on Kutu2 on tarot and YouTube and Instagram. I'll let you leave that in the description, I think, because it's hard to spell out and say. But yeah, that's where you can find me. That's what I do. And yeah, hope we can connect.
Thank you so much. Thank you.